Can you feel the love tonight? And why not? Okay, almost 14 years ago, I was living in Queens, and a young man got down on his knee, on one knee, and proposed to me. And then, like clockwork, the Lion King song came on. And we were dancing in the backyard. And then after that, we went for a walk, and it was in Queens, so it was different gas stations and things that we walked around. But amen. I was in love. And when Chris asked me, he asked me that night, he said, "So when do you want to get married?" And I said, "Right now." I said, "Why be engaged?" I said, "Yes. So what are we waiting for?" But we did wait. We waited 3 months, and amen. But can you feel the love tonight? Tonight we're going to be reading a lot of scripture. In 1 Timothy 4:13, the Bible, Paul talks to Timothy, writes to him, and says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. So tonight's going to be more interactive and have a lot of people reading a lot of Scriptures, but the foundation and the base of what we're reading is going to be this psalm. And I feel like this is great because no other character in the Bible is known as the man after God's own heart. And David wrote this psalm, and David was known for the way he loved God. So as we look at this tonight, then my question is, can you feel the love? And do you feel God loving you, and how are you loving God? So can you feel the love? And we all can learn from David's heart and how much he loved God. So we're going to be reading a ton of scriptures, and I'm going to give some assignments out right now. And I'm going to go around to the left, starting with Denise. So Denise, Acts 13:22. Deborah, Matthew 22:37. Hillary, Matthew 12:34. Lauren, Ephesians 6:10. Valerie, Hebrews 12:1. Noni, Matthew 6:33-34. Joellen, Psalm 119:161. Elaine, John 21:20. Elsie, Isaiah 43:3-4. Eileen, Kathy. Sorry. Okay. Matthew 10:28-31. Okay. Sharon, Hebrews 11:1. Katrina, Psalm 19:12-14. Amy, James 5:16. Christina, 1 Timothy 4:7. Mary, 2 Timothy 6:11-12. Roslyn, 2 Chronicles 16:9. Tandy, Colossians 1:28. Lerato, James 1:22. Christina, Hosea 14:9. Ivana, 1 Timothy 4:7. Maria, 2 Timothy 3:16. Ah, so, no sé tu nombre. Josefina. Filipenses. Okay. Amen. Philippians 1:9-10. Okay, Bethy, John 15:8. Lucy, Lucy, 1 Corinthians 16:9. Lisa, Matthew 13:23. Leslie, Proverbs 11:30. Tia, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Okay? And I'll cue you when it's your turn to read and say the scripture again, but okay, so let's start with Christian from our base text, Psalm 18, verses 1 to 3. You go ahead and read.
Oh, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies.
Okay. And then Acts 13:22.
After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.
Then Matthew 22:37.
Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.
Okay, and Hillary, Matthew 12:34.
You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Okay, so what theme do you see in that set of scriptures as David pours out his heart to God? And then the three scriptures that were read, either about David or about what it means to love God. Yes. In Matthew 12, what Hillary said is, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in this psalm, as David is pouring out his love to God, that's the very first thing he says. I love you, O Lord, my strength. So if you're writing a letter to God, which I recommend, I know this week is Mother's Day, but hey, while you're at it, buy a card for God. Do something special with God, for God. And if you were to do that, what would be your first thought? What would be the very first thing you would write to God? And for David, as the scripture says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And why does the Bible describe him as the man after God's own heart? Kama, because he would do whatever God wanted. No matter how weird or awkward or uncomfortable it may seem, he did whatever the Lord wanted. So his love for God wasn't based on how he felt or even how it made him feel, but it was based on what God wanted from him. That was his relationship. Okay, Renee, pick up in Psalm 18, verses 4 through 6. 4 through 6.
The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The hands of death encircled me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From the temple, he heard my voice. I cried to him before him in his ears.
Okay, then Ephesians 6:10.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
And then 11.
Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil.
Okay, we may need to back up. The scripture I was looking for is, our struggle is not flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
It's still Ephesians.
Is it Ephesians 6:10?
No.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12. Can you read that? I'm sorry. I was off. Go ahead, Lauren.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil.
Amen. And then Hebrews 12:1.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Amen. And then Matthew 6:33-34.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble.
And then Psalm 119, verse 161.
Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word.
Okay. So, as we are reading this psalm, the first thing David says is, I love you, O Lord. I mean, that's the first thing. He's pouring out his heart. But what do these set of scriptures have in common? And what can we learn from David's heart? Go ahead.
There was struggle, but he didn't allow it to stop how he felt for God and what he had to do.
That's right. Yes. Tandy.
He goes to God to give him strength and not worry about the issues going on around him. Fears, or fear God more than the world or the world.
Right. And, you know, there's some key words there in Psalm 18. It says, being overwhelmed, being distressed, and then feeling entangled. So you can fill in the blank, like what makes you get to that point? Or are you at that point right now? Okay, raise your hand if you're at that point right now. Okay? Okay, distress signal, right? And what are some of the things that entangle us or overwhelm us or that we get stressed out about?
Worldly things.
Like what? Marriage, kids, more kids, sickness.
Debt.
Okay. Price of gas. No relief. Price of food. Just last week, I had my mom-in-law and my husband's brother and his wife and their kids all in our condo. You know, plus we were treating for life. Plus my leg got stressed. My calf muscle. So I could barely, I can't walk. And then I couldn't move my neck because my mom-in-law had a cold and somehow it jumped on me. So, you know, the cold was jumping and the lights were jumping. Okay? But I want to focus in on verse 6 because look at David's heart. He says, in my distress, I blank. What do you do? Because I can tell you what I did, and it wasn't pretty. Okay, I can tell you what I was doing. I could tell you that in my distress, in bitterness, I lash out against this person or that person, or especially my husband. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's just human nature that the first impulse is to cry out, but not to the Lord, to cry out in bitterness and then to blame somebody. To find somebody to blame and to put the fault on them. And when we do that, that sin, which entangles us, Hebrews 12, starts separating us from God, and it starts eroding our relationship with God. And And then we're distant from God.
Yeah.
And you know, you see David's heart. And at other times he works through it in other psalms. But here he just goes straight to God. Because God is the only one who can change something that can be changed.
Yeah.
I mean, he can take away life and he could heal my leg. But maybe he wanted to give me all that to give me more than I could bear. So that I would do just that, and so that he would test me to see what was in my heart, to see if I would humble myself to him or get bitter. And the scripture that Jo Ellen read, that was Psalm 119, verse 161, it says, "The fact is, evil men persecute me without cause." And in the case of David, Saul, his mentor, was throwing a spear at him. What would you do?
Throw it back.
Throw it back.
Nobody said anything. They're not being real here.
Something
wrong.
Right. Are you feeling the love tonight? Okay. All right. But that's so much human nature. But what does the psalm say that David did when he was being persecuted without reason?
So my heart trembled at your word.
You know what? He made a decision. You know what? All these things may be going around, and they may not be fair. In fact, they're not fair. But I am not going to let Satan get my heart bitter. And I am not going to let the pride just keep blaming it on other people. You know what? If someone's hitting you with a spear, get away from them. That's exactly what David did. He went to a cave. And he just ran away. Okay, reading on. Lisa, Psalm 18, verses 20 through 24. Lisa Fellis. 20 through 24.
The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the prudence of my hands, which is born of me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decree. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself in sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hand in his sight.
Okay. And then Hebrews, wait, you know what? We're going to skip a few and come back. Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Amen. Psalm 19:12-14.
But who can discern their own error? Forgive my hidden fault. Keep your servant also from willful things. May they not be Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the Lord.
Amen. James 5:16.
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
1 Timothy 4:7b, the latter part. No. We're going to come back. We're going to get you again.
Oh.
That's just such a good scripture. We're going to do it twice. Go ahead, Christina. Sorry. Yeah, where the sentence starts.
Okay. Have nothing to do with godlessness and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly.
Okay, and then 2 Timothy 6:11-12. Oh, 1 Timothy. People in Joliet inventing their own Bible. Go ahead.
But you manifest, flee from all of this, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and justice. Fight the good fight of the faith. And hold off the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession.
Amen. What do these scriptures all have in common, and what can we learn from David?
I thought it was so cool, the verses that I read. His mentor, like you said, Saul, was like throwing these arrows at him, and he was just like letting just letting God know, he recognized what was happening, and even though he needed the help of Saul, you know, who can discern their own error? So he wanted God to know that, you know, his hidden faults, the faults that he really couldn't see himself, you know, please forgive them and help him to be blameless before him, you know, with just the relationship that he had with just me and God.
Right. Right, for sin that he couldn't even detect in himself. He's begging God, forgive that too, please. Because I don't want to hurt my relationship with you. Tangi.
I think you also knew that concept of dealing with your sin and pursuing righteousness.
Yes, personal righteousness. Personal righteousness has nothing to do with how you feel all the time.
Right.
Because if you go by how you feel, we'd all be in bed tonight sleeping or watching American Idol. Okay? You wouldn't wake up early to read your Bible. You wouldn't train yourself to be godly. You wouldn't take every thought captive because you would just let your mind ramble. And, you know, David, as he's pouring his heart out to God, he's very aware. And the scripture in James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I mean, do you realize if you're not trying to be righteous before God, you forfeit God even having you having powerful prayers before God.
Yeah.
He won't listen as attentively. He won't answer as much. I mean, there's a lot at stake. But what areas do we have to be righteous in? Everything. I mean, I think of just being humble, not being prideful. You know, not letting that pride get in there. But take, you know, really addressing that. Walking humbly before God. Purity, that's a big one. And, you know, I heard a woman say, we need to be in the Word of God until the Word cuts us, our hearts, just like Acts 2. And we need to get on our knees until we change. Because sometimes you're in a funk and you don't want to do anything. And sometimes the will, just by sheer will, get in the Word of God until you're cut and get on your knees until you change. And you can will yourself to do that. Okay, Brittany, verses 16 through 19, Psalm 18.
He reached down to my high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me.
Okay. And now to go with that, John 21, 20.
Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus. Loved following him, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during his suffering, and asked, Lord, who among us was afraid?
Okay, Isaiah 43:3-4.
This is why I am the Lord your God, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt, Ethiopia, and Syria as a reason for you, precious to you, precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped some. Other died that you might live. I tried there, live for you, their love for you, because you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you.
Matthew 10:28-31.
Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
Amen. What do these set of scriptures have in common, and what do we learn about David's heart, how he loved God? No. Rosalyn.
It just sounds like he really found his protection in God. When everything was, you know, kind of fall down around his head, like that's where he turned.
Yes. Yep. He knew God would protect him. Christina. Brittany.
God really values us because he reaches down, he draws us out of these waters, he delights in us. We're worth more than we.
Let me ask you, how many of you looked in the mirror today and said, God delights in me? I mean, look at what he says in verse 19. That's exactly what David says. Why are you laughing? He says it. He says he rescued me because he delighted in me. How many of you looked in the mirror today and said, I am worthy? I mean, we sing the songs, God is worthy, and he is. But have you looked in the mirror and said, I am worthy. I am much more valuable than them. Have you said that? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said that? Have you looked in the mirror and said, God delights in me. I am beautiful. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
You have?
I had to. I felt so insecure about who I was and how God felt about me. I had to do that for some weeks, for a while, every day in the mirror, remind myself how much God loves me.
Yeah. You know what? Whether you look at yourself in the mirror and say it, but do you see yourself as that? Because God sees you as that. And so that is the truth. And anything else is a lie. You know, and so many women, Oprah does entire shows on self-esteem.
Yeah.
And you got to build your self-esteem, because if you don't, you're going to want any Tom or anybody to be kissing on you, and you're going to put up with that destructive behavior and all kinds of abuse. He said, no, God loves you. You are worthy. God delights in you. So if you don't feel that, then you need to do Pam's exercise and start doing it. Every time you look in the mirror, say, I am worthy. God delights in me. I am beautiful, because that comes from the inside out. 1 Peter 3. It's an exercise. You have to train yourself to believe the truth. You know, what we normally do is we see God as a father figure, and so we project who our father was, and we think God is like our father. Now, God may be a little like your dad. I don't know. Some of you may have had good relationships with your dad and have great dads who are providers, and some not. But the truth is, God is not your father. And especially those who may not have a relationship with their father, never grew up with it, then it's very hard to see God as someone good who loves you and who's going to provide for you. And so you got to get into the scriptures and remind yourself of the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Getting to the scriptures. Okay, back to Psalm 18, Tracy Shelbrock, verses 25 through 29. Yep.
To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself true. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haunted, heavy. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can't advance. Advance against the truth. With my God, I can scale a wall.
Okay,
2
Chronicles
16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him.
And then Colossians 1:28.
You proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect.
Amen. You know, I want to focus in verse 28 where it says, you keep my lamp burning. But what do these set of scriptures have in common? What can we learn here from David's heart? Barb.
The strength comes from God.
you know, to keep going, to proclaim His word, it has to come from God, because you'll grow weary.
That's right. You know what? It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 50 years.
Yeah.
You know what? Every day, God will give you new strength. Every day, God will revive you. Every day, you'll be restored, and He can keep your lamp burning.
Right.
He can do that if we're about His business. Okay, Tracy Shelbrack. Maria, I'm sorry. Maria Chepeta, you just read. Psalm 18, verses 30 through 33.
As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except for God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the height.
Okay. And I'm going to focus here on verse 30. His way is perfect. James 1:22.
Do not maybe listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what you say.
Amen. Now she could have read that. She speaks 9 languages, so she could have read that in a different language. But amen. We'll stick to English tonight. And then Hosea 14:9.
Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but their belly stumbles.
Okay. So what do we get from David's heart and from this set of scriptures? Right. Amen. The word. That's right. Amen. You know what? One time I did a study about David's relationship with the law of God, with the word of God. I mean, not. Yes, with God, but specifically the Word of God, the law of God. And it was many scriptures. He really respected God's Word. He wouldn't know God except through God's Word. He wouldn't know God. And so he loved the scriptures. He loved the Word of God, and he loved obeying God's precepts. And there's many examples where if you were to study that out, you just see how much he loved the Word, because the words give him life, and they teach him about God. All right, Ashley, verse 34, Psalm 18. Yep.
He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze.
Okay, 1 Timothy 4:7. That's Ivana.
Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wax tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly.
2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
And Philippians 1:9-10.
I pray that you are well to keep on growing more and more together with true knowledge and perfect judgment, so that you will be able to choose what is best.
Okay, so how do we discern or choose what is best? Okay, let's look at these next set of scriptures. John 15:8. What is best? Because we don't just want to do good for God or better, but best.
When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father.
Okay, so best, I put B is for bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So how do we think about what is the standard for what is best? If we're praying for this, you know, God says we're going to show ourselves to be His disciples. And this is how we give glory to God, by bearing much fruit. Fruits of the Spirit, and helping other people. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, 9.
There is a wide open door for great work here, although many opportunities.
Okay. And in the NIV it says effective. God was opening a door for effective work. So in Beth, the E is for effective work. You know, are we being effective in what we're doing for God? Sometimes we may be busy, but at the end of the day, are we really being effective? And how can we be effective? So I love to read all these books. So I was reading a book about time management, and the author was talking about the difference between being effective versus being efficient. Effective, the author said, is doing, or at least doing something that has to do with your ultimate goal, which I think as Christians is to give glory to God. You know, we want to be effective. We do want to bear much fruit, and we want to show ourselves to be His disciples. But then efficient means doing it using the least resources, like time or money or energy or gas. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to be efficient. So sometimes we're effective, but not always efficient. And I think sometimes as we get older and have health problems, like me, or start having more babies, it forces us to learn how to be more efficient so that we can be more effective. Because you don't necessarily have to be less effective, even if you're bedridden, or even if you're sick or having babies and have health issues, you can learn. It's something that can be learned, but we can all, no matter what our circumstance, be effective. Okay, does that make sense? Effective for the Lord. Okay, reading on here, Matthew 13:23.
The one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Okay, that's just reinforcing the word productive. The only good soil for a farmer or in God's eyes is productive soil. I mean, you can read it in the parable of the talents. You can read it in many parables, the parable of the sower. But the good soil represents somebody who listening, persevere, obey, and produces a crop. That is what God is looking for. So, you know, we may be in the beginning stage of just hearing the word or trying to obey it. That's okay. Over time, we will reap what we sow. That is a biblical principle. Okay, and then Proverbs 11:30.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise.
He who wins souls. So the S in Beth is for soul, winning souls. He who wins souls is wise. You know what? Amen. We don't have time to talk more about that. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Give thanks and all circumstances. God
will for you in Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. So the T in Beth is being thankful, no matter what the circumstance. No matter if you have a bad health day and life day or whatever. Or whatever. You know, just being thankful because God is still God and He's allowing that to happen. I heard someone say, we are refined in the battle. In verse 34, David says, you train my hands for battle. You know, God is doing this training. God is doing this refining. Do you feel like you're being trained and refined? Who said that? I mean, I have to share, how many people here know Ace and Pamela? Okay, they moved to L.A., and I have to share this because from time to time I speak with Pamela, and she said, I can't believe what God is doing. I feel like I'm being purified. I feel like God is training my heart and mind. and it hasn't been easy. She has three preschool children, young. One's a baby. Oh, three jobs now. But the point came where they didn't have a job, neither she nor her husband. And then she said, we're going to have to move back to Chicago because there's an empty house sitting there that we're paying mortgage on. And here we are without a job. We're not going to be able to pay our rent. We can't even afford food. So she went to a staff meeting and two third world women started talking to her. What do I mean third world? One is from Mexico and one was from Santo Domingo.
Oh, wow.
By the time those women finished with her, she walked out thinking, you know what? This thing about eating three times a day, that's an American thing. We gotta eat two times a day. She was so desperate, they went through a burger drive-thru and they said, evening, nighttime shift. I mean, Pamela is a very professional ex-model, and here she was ready to apply for the nighttime shift of a burger joint. She said, I was so hungry, I had to eat a burger. I said, Ace, we gotta break down. We gotta have them. I have to eat a burger. She got on her knees and said, put her face to the ground and was begging God, God, help this rice to last an extra day. Help me to feed my children. I don't know where the money's going to come. We don't have, I don't know, but we're going to have to move. We're going to, and she said, God was testing my heart because she said, if it were up to me, I would not seek the kingdom first. I would put first what I want before the kingdom. I would satisfy my hunger and live comfortably. But God was putting her through the ringer. And as soon as she surrendered, the jobs came in. They were able to stay. And God is blessing them more now. And she said, I don't know what the old movement looked like, but God is training me, my heart. I feel like I'm being purified. What about you? You know, so often God said to his people, purify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do awesome things among you. For God's presence to be strong, we have to be purified. And we have to accept the training process. And let me tell you, God can use anything. He can use non-Christians. He can use your circumstances to train you. We will be refined in the battle. I think for us as women, we have to learn how to be focused on, you know, waking up and thinking, what does God want from me today? And I don't know about you, but for me to do this, I have to make a deliberate effort. I have to think about it, I have to pray about it, and then I get advice. I mean, I don't just do things. I'm married, and I'm thankful my husband's a disciple, because then I can run things by him, or maybe run things through some of you. This is what I'm thinking, but we're always thinking, what is best? What is best for the Lord? Because it's too easy to get distracted. You know, God may bless you with children or with a job, but then we stop being productive for the Lord. But those are actually blessings from God. They're there to help you be fruitful, not to distract you. God put those things, and he put them so you can be an awesome mom, but that so you would still have your purpose. You know, we have to learn how to prioritize, how to use our time, how to have a schedule that's not for ourselves, but for God. And that schedule is not going to be the same all the time, especially if you have kids. It's going to be adjusting always from time to time. You know, we got to think about how many studies are we in? How hard are we working for the Lord? You know, am I in one study this week? I mean, I thought what Lucy did was shrewd, because by bringing all the women together in one room, hey, she had four studies at one time. That's awesome. You know, I think we have to learn how to double up on our time. And sometimes it's by trial and error. I really appreciate Tangie's heart, because after a long day Sunday, She drove all the way back up to be in a study. And amen for that. Because Tangie has a heart that, you know, wants to study the Bible with people. But as we thought through it, we thought, you know what, next time maybe we can do the study at church or double up on time and then save gas too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more you're in the battle, the more you think about it, and God will refine you even more and more. And I really believe God will multiply your resources too. Last night I dropped off my mom. We had our Mother's Day dinner. So we got to barbecue hamburgers and hot dogs. It was awesome. Okay? And then I brought her home, and it was 8:30 when I got home, about 8:20. And I said, you know what? I have 30 minutes that I can make phone calls right there. Because if I get out of this car, then my time is for my kids, and I have to focus on that. But I know that if I just stay in the car, I can do these phone calls and be totally caught up with all of that. So that's what I did. Today I had a couple girls come over, and they didn't know it, but I was doing my nail polishing. And here they were at the door, and I had like 3 nails left. And you know how you want a quick run to the door? But I'm like, no. You know what? If we're going to save time, sometimes finish what you're doing and then move on. They can wait. It's not going to kill them. Okay, and it didn't take long, maybe a minute, just, okay, I'm going to finish the last 2 nails, 3. Right? Oh, you were struggling. You got a bad attitude. We need to go back to verse 6. Okay? You know, that bit, right? The bitter root. But, you know, when you're doing something, like if I'm with my kids, I'm going to focus on 100%. So they can get 100% of my energy and concentration, so that later when I'm not with them, I'm not guilty.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we can multitask, and sometimes we just got to focus.
Yeah.
But as we're in the battle, I do believe God helps us to grow and increases our resources. If we're not even in the battle, then maybe you don't even know it. Maybe your mind's drifting. I used to hear one brother always say, I just want to be in a canoe in a river in Puerto Rico. Oh, wouldn't we all? Huh? We all would. You know, I just want to be out and enjoy all the roses and all the flowers. Well, we all would. And hopefully you'll get to enjoy that. But I say, give to God what is God's first. And then give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, verse 35. Ashley, the other Ashley. Did you read?
Me?
Ashley Bouye? Okay, so verse 35, Ashley. And we're going to close out with this. Come on, girl. Come on. Come on. That pearly gate's gonna close, baby. And you gotta get your butt in there. So, go ahead. Verse 35.
You give me your shield of victory in your right hand. Sustains me. You to make me.
Amen. And then John 14, 12 through 14. Who had that? Was that? Christian. Go ahead, girl.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you? John 14, 12 through 14. Okay, but back up to verse 12. John 14, 12. Okay, so what do we see from David's heart as he writes the psalm, my God makes me great. He stoops down to make me great. And then what Jesus told his disciples, you will do even greater things. What does he mean by that? Why did he say that? And David understood that, and he felt that. But what does that mean? Because then that's us. How are we going to do greater things than Jesus? How is that possible? What is it that God's vision is that we're going to do?
Is it because there's more of us?
Because of our faith, we can be glorified. You know, just from, you know, because Jesus, he died on the cross to be ready for us to have our faith to even, you know, just love him and do things because of him. You know, we don't actually witness his work and die on the cross. And if God, just being obedient to his scriptures, just our life and the way that we're going to be so different from everything in the world and everyone in the world, that because of that, it's going to make us shine greater. Kind of,
right?
You know, like you know, it's like the player. It's like the player of the instrument. You know, the instrument is wonderful, but the person who plays it makes it great.
Right. And I love what you said. What you said in the beginning is faith, by your faith, because, you know, there were times where Jesus could perform no miracles because the people had no faith. Mm-hmm. And he said, according to your faith, it will be done. Mm-hmm. So, Leslie.
I just thought about, this is my thought, but I agree with Christina, and it makes me think about how Jesus came to the Jews. And I think that he's telling the story of how the disciples are going to go all around the world, and they're going to spread this word, this message of Jesus, the word, and everything that he went through, and it was given to everyone, not
right.
just the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, which is us. And that, you know, continue this legacy by making disciples everywhere.
Right. Because what Jesus says is true. And he said, you will do even greater things than I did. That's amazing. That's amazing that he had so much trust in those guys, sinners that they were. And now, 2,000 years later, sinners that we are. Any other thought there? Okay. Well, I hope tonight that we were just able to learn even a sliver, just a little glimpse, and just see how rich, how much there is in David's heart, how he poured out his heart to God. And, you know, he says, you stoop down to make me great. God does things to make you feel great, to make you feel special. God is working. God is at work. And my challenge for everyone this week is do something to make someone else feel special. Do something to make someone else feel great. Do something to make them feel great. And I think here's some practicals about different things we can do. Sometimes it's just listening to people, getting involved in their heart issues, just getting involved, just listening. Women have a lot to talk about. I had a woman come over Monday night, and we were only going to meet for a very short time, but then she ended up just pouring out her heart. And she said, I don't know why, but I just feel like I can share all of this with you. She told me her whole life, basically. And I'm like, amen. That was God. You know, remembering special events, birthdays, anniversaries. Looking people in the eye when you're greeting them. Okay? A warm greeting. Something we try to do in the church, if we have people coming in, going to the airport, serving. Just serving, going to the airport, welcoming people, rolling out the red carpet. You know, helping someone to be in a study. I mean, Mom, do you feel encouraged that you were in a study today?
Yes,
very much. Okay? So maybe someone who's not in a study can say, hey, I want to come and be in that study. Or you pull someone in on a study. That's very encouraging because studies are not just for people to be saved, but they're for us also to help us keep saved. They're to help us stay saved. If you lead a Bible talk, or if not, you know, think about a role. I know my mom was talking about Lisa feeling like, I want to have a niche. I want to serve in a special way. I want to find my role in the church. And then finally, they thought about CR, leading CR for the Spanish ministry. You know, and that's a huge thing because that makes people feel special and feel loved. Being on time, you know, that's a way to make people feel not disrespected and keeping your job too. And then just having words of encouragement. You know, some of us are better at this than other, but finding ways to encourage people. And, you know, sometimes it's being thoughtful, maybe writing a card or just expressing verbally, you know, this is what I see in you. The other day I was on the phone with Patrice, and I was just telling her very specifically, you know, you're very inspiring to me. This is why your boldness and your always... She used to always confess sin about how she's not sharing her faith, but she's one of the most evangelistic, radical, faithful women that I know. So, I mean, she's confessing that always as a weakness, but it's the thing she works on the most. But no matter what, you know, let's keep each other in prayer, but think about how is God doing something to make you great, and what has God done already? Take the time to think about it and thank God. And then my challenge for everyone this week is do something to make someone else feel great, feel special. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Have a great fellowship. I hope you all felt the love tonight.